Okay, hello and welcome to the Alex and Nick Film Podcast. So today we're going to talk about Prometheus, just released, Ridley Scott's new film. We'll come to that in a moment, but first of all we're just going to talk about some of the trailers that we saw before we watched the film. Nick, you saw for the first time the Total Recall trailer. What do you think of that?
I thought that looked pretty good, because it's obviously the remake, reboot of the Schwarzenegger. There was a few of them, wasn't there?
I'm not sure. There's certainly Arnold Schwarzenegger in the first one,
Sort of going for a new one and that. It looked quite good. It's got
a decent
looking cast.
I think the action looks quite interesting. I'm not entirely convinced that kind of... For me, the cast is a bit... I'm not entirely convinced by them, but we'll see how it goes. Obviously, they're playing it a lot more serious and a lot kind of less cheesy than the original. But the action does look quite interesting. They've got some bit of slow mo in there, and
I think it's gonna really how good it is will really depend on if it knows what it's trying to be.
Yeah, it's true. If it takes itself too seriously, I suppose if it really kind of, they seem to be going for the kind of smart angle here with you don't know what's real and what isn't, but it's kind of whether they're going to try and play that up a bit more and try and make it even more, closer to Inception levels of kind of mind bendingness, or whether they just kind of have it as the hook and then build a more conventional action film around it. I suppose it'll really depend on that.
I think either could work. It's just if it gets caught halfway, it might
and kind of gets an awkward middle ground. But yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I'm not massively excited for it, but I will be curious to see how it turns out. What other trailers did we see? There was Total Recall.
The newborn,
Born Legacy. I'm a bit more interested for that one. It's an interesting hybrid, really, because it carries across some of the same characters from the Bourne films. And in fact, I think some of it happens in tandem with events from the Bourne films. Like, Bourne is running around at the same time. But obviously, you've got this new character, Aaron Cross, played by Jeremy Renner.
Of Hawkeye.
And The Town. And Hurt Locker. So I'll be interested to see how they go with that. Because obviously, it has the Bourne name, but it'll be interesting to see whether the audiences will want to watch a film without Matt Damon, because Matt Damon is so strongly associated with the franchise, whether they convince people that, it's worth watching a film just even connected to Bourne.
I think when someone says Matt Damon, that's Bourne films are the second thing you think of, after Team America.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Not me, but
no, everyone, that pretty much almost destroyed his career. Matt Damon. Matt Damon.
I don't know.
All the time.
As someone who isn't remotely a fan of Team America, I'd not let it impact me. But yeah, no, he's definitely strongly tied in with the Bourne franchise. So we'll see how that one goes. But now we'll talk about Prometheus. I think the difficulty will be that talking about it without spoilers.
Yeah.
So do you want to just go over a kind of overview of it?
Well, give a standard review, and then, like we did for the Avengers.
Yeah, and then we'll go into spoiler territory, because I think that so much of the film hinges on the choices it makes. And, having said that, the trailers spoil a lot of it. Like, there are substantial plot points and events that are pretty much ruined in the trailer. And I felt like that removed a lot of the impact for me, which was a bit of a shame. But, so we'll kind of give an overview first. And then,
it also did the other thing of there were scenes in the trailer that just weren't in the film or were completely different in the film. Well, like, the bit in the trailer it kept showing was when she was like, it's not a map, it's an invitation. In the trailer she said it in the ship. And didn't she say it, before they even get to the ship?
No, she's in the ship, It's in the hangar, the ship.
No, it's in a different bit of the ship, though. It's not the same thing they showed in the trailer. It's when she's standing there next to her boyfriend doing the speech.
Yeah.
That's not the one that's showed in the trailer.
Yes, it is.
She's standing by herself in the trailer.
No, they're in the shots of her... Yeah, of her in the hangar with the boyfriend out of shot.
They were standing way closer than that in the...
No, it's exactly the same. I remember thinking that it was, it is exactly the same.
Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember thinking it was a different scene.
No, it's totally the same. It's just the way they shot it, It's just the boyfriend's not in the shot. It's actually the same. Now they've got that one cleared up, we'll move into the air.
Okay, so my last point was invalid, apparently.
We'll go to the actual review. So, basically, I don't know about you, but I thought that it was good. It wasn't the massive return to form that a lot of people have been hoping.
No.
I thought it was a bit unfocused, a bit confused.
It did feel like it was sort of three quarters of an epic, amazing film. There were sort of a few subplots left unresolved.
Or yeah.
Sort of not really touched on, like set up and then just ignored.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, on that point, you know, whether they're setting up for, you know, for a sequel, the potential for sequels in a series, really, it hurts the film. Because it kind of, we were just talking about middle ground, you know, it's kind of stranded where it doesn't know whether it wants to be a standalone prequel or a kind of almost, you know, jumping off point for a whole new series. And so it means that you don't get the satisfactory, all-encompassing story of a standalone film, but you don't get, it's too connected to Alien for it to be a kind of exciting new franchise for me. I felt like it kind of fell in the middle. And it wasn't really satisfactory in either way, because of that.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate. I think it would have, for me, I felt it would have been better had it been standard, not linked to Alien, and then just used, because they would. To be honest, it doesn't feel that linked anyway.
It doesn't. Like, I mean, some of the coolest scenes, which we'll go into a bit later, were clearly kind of tied in with Alien. But you're right. I thought very much the atmosphere was very different. And that's fine, you know, it doesn't matter. But when it's allowed so much to be kind of almost held back by Alien in the sense that they really feel like they have to kind of connect the dots between this film and the Alien film, it means that it kind of gets stuck between wanting to go off on its own adventures and talking about all these grand issues that it brings up, but at the same time feeling like it's got to always make progress towards explaining the events of the Alien film. And I think that becomes a real problem for it, where it can't focus on any one thing. So before you can ever have a really hard-hitting impact of one part, we're jumping to another part straight away. And, you know, I felt that, yeah. I mean, that's not to say it was a bad film at all.
No.
I mean, I thought that, you know, the direction, the kind of visuals were excellent throughout. I thought the cast was fine. I mean, the characters mainly were weak, I felt like. None of them really stood out.
I thought Idris Elba stood out a little. I thought
he was alright.
I think that was more. I think Idris Elba is like an amazing actor.
Yeah.
Like whenever he's in stuff, he almost steals the show.
I mean, we'll talk about Vickers in the spoiler territory.
Yeah.
When we really go into her character, I thought, you know, I thought the main character Elizabeth Shaw, I thought she was fine. It wasn't so much the performances, but the characters. Kind of, I was thinking, you know. Some of the side characters, especially, again, it's difficult to talk about without going into spoilers, but some of the side characters kind of introduced, kind of had a brief introduction and then suddenly were forgotten or pushed aside until a long time later.
Yeah.
And it meant that you never, unlike the first Alien films, the first two especially, you never really got to know any of the characters outside the kind of core two or three. And it never felt like because of the structure of the film, it was more difficult, but it never felt like they were a team or like a group. And so you didn't have that sense of camaraderie that you had with the other two films, where it really, you know, each time they lost someone, it was a real kind of big deal for the whole crew. Whereas here, you know, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that people do die.
Yeah, with an Alien film, you can expect,
you know, when some of the people do die, the reactions are minimal.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I felt it struggled on that front as well. It almost had, it had too much to think about. And it was kind of, it couldn't really dedicate the time. Like you were saying, it felt like kind of, you know, three quarters, two thirds of a really good film that they just had to cut.
So I think it'd be interesting to see a director's cut.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if there is one. Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure they'll release one. They release it for everything now.
Yeah. So yeah, I imagine that if they kind of, then the problem is that whether they would some of the stuff was deliberately left out for the sequels. Possibly. There are certainly, you know, elements of the plot that are left deliberately untied so that in the sequels they can deal with it.
Well, there's some stuff, without spoiling, there's some stuff that was tied up that I don't think was expanded on anywhere near enough.
Yeah.
And almost felt like it was barely worth starting for the sort of 45 seconds of total screen time it got to be addressed.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a very strange film, because then there were parts that were really strong. I thought there were a couple of scenes that were absolutely fantastic, and, you know,
and I've definitely never seen anything like one of the scenes.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a really kind of, and obviously just seeing such a grand science fiction film is so nice, you know, seeing one that, you know, the production values are so good, And you know Ridley Scott's direction is, you know, confident and, you know, slick to the last.
It's Ridley Scott.
Yeah, you know, so it's really strong in so many areas. And, you know, Michael Fassbender's performance, everyone will be saying how good that was, and I think that was good as well. But yeah, there was just overall kind of the narrative just seemed very loose and very, it didn't seem to ever have a clear where, you know, knowing where it wanted to go. So yeah, I think if you're a fan of the Alien films, definitely go see it just for curiosity. I mean, obviously, already opinion seems to be quite divided. You know, it's, I already know a couple of people who thought it was fantastic. So, you know, definitely go see it if that's the case. If you're a fan of the Alien films, if you want to see kind of grand sci-fi again on a big scale, then again, go see it. But as a kind of, if I was talking to someone who wasn't a fan of the Alien films, I'm not sure how much there is to recommend it.
I was chatting to a friend earlier, sort of in the short gap between we saw the film and the recording this. I was chatting to a friend who was asking whether he should go and see it.
Yeah.
And he's never seen the Alien films. He doesn't actually know, because he's lived in another country and stuff. He didn't actually even recognise the bursting out the chest thing. Spoiler for 1970 something or whatever. But I was thinking about it. I think actually, because it works, it's practically standalone anyway. I think you can still go and watch it and just enjoy it as a sci-fi epic, almost, without having, because it's so, the links are so slight, and it's more the odd nod or foreshadowing more than actual, you need to know the alien lore and backstory to get it.
That the whole film was always pushing towards promising to explain everything. Like, everything was a kind of embryo stage version of what we want, what they wanted to show later that connects to the Alien film. You know, everyone seemed like a step one with step five being Alien. And it just...
But that's what irritated... That was, for me, the biggest downside of the film. Was that it was a prequel, but it ended up and it just left me with way more questions that I didn't even know I had about it. Whereas, you know, if someone has no idea and sort of no real interest in the original films, they'll just watch it and think, oh, that's quite cool, I wonder what it'll do in the sequel. And there won't be the sort of irritation.
I feel like this is another problem with the film. I'm going to talk about it in spoilers, I think.
We'll say what's happening. Basically, we are...
There's going to be a hiatus. Yeah,
sort of.
Basically, we're parting. We're taking a parting of the ways for a couple of months. Because obviously there are some big summer releases out. We're going to definitely try and get podcasts out.
Something out.
So there will be stuff. It might just be one of us or the other, or we might get some guest speakers in.
Or talk over Skype, in which case the quality may drop a little or something.
Don't abandon us. We are going to bust out some podcasts, especially for our Dark Knight Rises, Amazing Spider-Man. A couple of films coming out.
But so the we'll topical ones will be... There'll be fewer topical ones. We've recorded a few.
There weren't many to begin with, to be fair.
No, but we've recorded a few sort of best ofs or favourite
sorry,
of all time.
It's basically an apology, a sorry present for you for having to endure our antics. We've got a couple of bonus podcasts that we're going to chuck out in between.
So I'll try and get one of those up most weeks, and then we'll record the actual ones when there's something we want to talk about.
So don't worry. We haven't abandoned you, our three listeners. We still love you. Okay, right. So, spoiler territory for Prometheus then.
So see you soon if you haven't seen Prometheus or you don't want spoilers.
Yeah, and thanks for listening.
Yeah.
All right, so
we've got the cool listener left.
Yeah, Paul, he's still around. So basically, what were we talking about? So basically, the first thing is the little hints towards Alien. I felt like none of the explanations the film offered were interesting enough to warrant it being a prequel.
No.
Like, you know, the space jockey from Alien is explained in the sense that we find out who they were. But yeah, I think it's a less interesting thing, you know. And I didn't think that the alien people, you know, the kind of big pale translucent guys that were kind of our forebears were particularly compelling. And so it just felt like the whole thing was an exercise in offering answers to questions that I personally never wanted the answers to. Like, I didn't need to know how the space jockey ended up there. I had my own ideas. and I was fine with that. So I felt that that was kind of...
You've got a big ship at X.
Yeah. So it was just... It just... That, I felt, was a kind of problem it was always trying to overcome and couldn't really do. But should we go for the good things first? The Caesarian scene.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's the kind of... That's the real kind of money scene, in the same way that the chest bursting scene was a real kind of body horror. Really well done. But even that, I felt, suffered from the fact, I'm going to say it over and over again, the fact that the film is so unfocused in that...
Not so much never, the scene itself, but
no, no, yeah, no, just, a, you know, the aftermath, basically, because I really wanted, you know, no one notices, it happens.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic scene, but then it doesn't have any impact beyond that, you know, basically, none of the characters ever notice or kind of go, whoa, what happened? You know, what's that in the container?
That whole sort of mini... sort of well, that sort of story arc of the film where she gets impregnated, has the thing, kerfuffle, then everyone ignores it. It's only about like 15 minutes and then pretty much never spoken of again or addressed until the very end.
Which is a shame because I thought that was, for me, potentially one of the that really strong parts because the idea that, you know, basically, sorry, we didn't mention it's Elizabeth Shaw who gets impregnated, not by a facehugger, but by actually sleeping with her boyfriend who's been infected by other means. So basically...
We'll get back to that later, because that was confusing as well.
The idea that this could happen, I thought was a really good idea. Because basically, it's always an issue that in space, you're trapped for, you know, years on end with a group of people. It's unlikely that nothing's going to happen between, you know, the men and the women or whatever.
People have needs.
Yeah. So like... It's a really good idea that you could get impregnated by actually just like the normal means as opposed to by having a creature in your face. And it just, yeah, it's never, you know, explored beyond that. You know, no one ever kind of thinks about the implications of this or the kind of terror that could result from this. And I felt like, you know, it was an idea that either could have been explored either across a whole film, but obviously the focus would be very different, or you kind of leave it out and focus more on the mythological aspects they were going for. But in the end, they kind of, it was almost like they had the Caesarian scene. They realised how good an idea it was, how cool it could be, and they couldn't face leaving it out, even though, overall, looking at the film as a whole, it didn't add anything to the rest of the film. Like, it had no impact.
Also, something I wasn't sure on, and I've got a few ideas for why, but the pod she used for the surgery was owned by... The blonde woman.
Vickers.
Yeah, it was programmed only for men.
I never quite understood that. I thought it was actually for Wayland,
But, well, it seems bizarre to get... She referred that it was really expensive.
Yeah.
You get it programmed for both, right?
it seems extremely limited. But that was a very strong scene. I thought that the bits with where the two guys are attacked and killed by the creature...
Yeah, that's
in
good.
The kind of the black goo was a very good scene, but you know.
But all these cool scenes, it was the build up. They just seemed almost to come out of nowhere or be not really explored the consequences or the build up for it.
It all felt very disconnected. Like for example, I never quite understood. One of the guy who gets the creature goes down his throat.
Yeah.
What did it do to him in the end? Like. Did anything come out of him? I can't remember what happened to him. Or did he just kill him for fun? Like, it kind of jumps down his throat.
And you never met the thing again.
No, he didn't come back. And
they found him dead.
Yeah, because they find the two of them. And then the other guy shows up later as a kind of mutant. Yeah.
But did they find them both? Or I thought they only found him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, I can't remember what they did with him. Did they take his body back? Did they leave him? In which case, why did the creature kill him? Or was it hoping they'd bring it back? As in, these are all things that you can probably think of an explanation, but they never needed to have to be. Yeah, kind of.
Like, I'm all for films letting you have your own imagination, like the end of Inception, leaving it up to you as to what you think's really happened. Mm. But the whole point of a prequel
is to explain things. But also, it's things that aren't important enough to. Warrant having your own interpretation. Like, yeah, the ending of Inception is a big deal. So having one thing left your interpretation is fine.
Yeah.
But when there are multiple small events...
But you don't actually care about.
You're just like, what? You know, why has that happened? What's going on? And I felt like, the whole thing just... It didn't know where to really pay attention to. and it was just jumping around. Like, you know, you get, again, the other thing we talk, you know, not really explained, David's motives.
Yeah.
You know, I would just like to say at this point, we've just seen the film.
Yeah.
We haven't, obviously, we've only seen it once. It may be that on a second viewing, there are levels of complexity that we have missed, and we apologise if we have, because obviously there will be things we've not, you know, we didn't hear or whatever. But for me, I never quite understood what David's motives are, because he poisons Elizabeth's boyfriend, Charlie.
Causing him to become infected and impregnate.
I was never quite sure of why. Was it just to see the effects of the kind of the goo on a human?
Was he annoyed with him?
Yeah, because obviously they had a very kind of tense relationship, but it seemed like either extremely malicious and kind of very risky. Like, it seemed like he wanted the mission to succeed. So why he would deliberately infect someone who could then end up killing the crew or something.
Did he want the mission to succeed? Because, well, it seemed like everything he was doing for Weyland.
Yeah.
But then he also said he wanted Weyland to die.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that either.
I fear that we might just make ourselves look really stupid and we've missed like all these really obvious points. But I was a little bit confused by, you know, some of the major plot points. And the other thing was the characters. We said earlier that they kind of didn't get developed massively. I thought that, again, that kind of idea of it only being 2/3 of a film, we really came forward with Vickers, the woman played by Charlize Theron, was that, I was never, you know, she kind of had constant implications that there was this deeper thing to her. And yet they were like, never...
There was hints that she might be an
android. Yeah. And then, obviously, it turned out that she was Weyland's daughter.
Possibly. But then I also thought that David referred to Weyland as his father.
So maybe they were both androids.
Yeah.
But then, like, it didn't play any role in anything. Like, Vickers' whole part in all of it was minimal.
Yeah, she could have not been in the film.
Yeah, I don't think it would have changed anything. So, like, and obviously she dies at the end, so it's not even as though they've left her, unless they bring her back, I suppose. Yeah. But, you know, but that doesn't matter. If they bring her back, that's great. But for this film, as a film by itself, it just leaves it all too open, and you don't know, you know, what's going on with half these characters. And I just felt that kind of there were lots of... And the other strange one was, like, you get the geologist who turns up with the mobile. Yeah. He turns up, he's kind of grumpy. He almost immediately mutinies against his leader, the team leader, which is Elizabeth, when they're in the ship. He then just walks off. This is somehow acceptable that one of the key team members... Also, such a volatile personality. These people have all been hand-picked by Vickers. She says at the start, you know, for those who I met myself, presumably recruited, welcome, for those who haven't met me. So basically, either they've been picked by her specifically...
Or
the company. So how is this guy who can't... I mean, they knew it was going to be a potentially dangerous mission, and yet they picked a guy who, at the sight of one corpse, immediately lost his head. But, you know, ignores and orders all the orders and just goes off by himself. And I mean, I thought that there was going to lead in an interesting direction. I was thinking that maybe there'd be the potential for mutiny, where we'd have kind of lots of conflict between the different crew members.
There was tension between Vickers
and the captain, And I thought, maybe that would play out. I was seeing, you know, I had visions of, you know, Vickers, the military guys, and, the geologist and a couple of others going against Shaw and Charlie and the captain. And kind of having that tension going on while maybe there was all this alien stuff happening. But it never really came to fruition. And it just, all it meant was that you had this character who was bizarrely confrontational, then dies, and that's it. And, you know, and the whole thing was basically just to get him so they were isolated and could be killed. It just all seemed a lot more calculated to kind of get people in the right places.
And even then, it was the classic thing of they flipped out of the sight of the body and decided to go back to the ship.
Yeah.
So it's sort of the going off alone. But then they don't go off alone, they go as a pair.
Yeah.
And then they don't die for like half an hour.
Yeah.
And it sort of even lost the impact. It wasn't so much that they'd gone off alone, there didn't seem to be any like, they didn't sort of storm off in the same way. They were like, well, yeah, we don't really like this. You know, I can't really be of much assistance. I'm a geologist, that's a dead body. That's not really my territory. So he was like, okay, I'll go back to the ship then. And this just came back into my head now, thinking, the exploding head.
was that ever explained?
Nope.
there was just a lot, just the whole film.
I'd forgotten about
that. Oh yeah, I had done, yeah. just the whole film again. Yeah, what was... I haven't even got the point of that whole scene now that I think about it. No. Was it just to show the infection? But then the infection's effects needs to be different on everyone. There's no, like, consistent rules to do with who gets infected. I mean...
Did that happen to the guy at the very start who drinks the infected...
Did that get explained?
No.
I'm really starting to get afraid that we just missed everything. Because it seems incredible that we... All these things weren't tied up. Act? Because then I think about the guy at the start who drinks that goo and dies... He kind of seemed to have done it. He seemed to do it in a response to that kind of weird ship landing.
Which was the ship that... Was it the same ship? No, it was a different ship.
It looked very different. I was thinking it might be the same, but it looked like a kind of weird oval.
It looked more like the Independence Day starship than the actual...
And so I thought it was in a response to that. But then that never gets brought up again. And the effects of the goo on him are totally different again, because his limbs, like, break off. He, like, goes all brittle and, like, shatters. Whereas the other people kind of... The geologist kind of mutates and swells up and becomes psychotic and indestructible because he gets shot about 40 times. The other guy just kind of... Well, he doesn't get that far, to be fair, before he gets flamethrowered. But yeah, the effects seem to be kind of...
On the other one, did the guy who jumped off the waterfall, did his head explode? And that was just...
It's true. Just a lot of things were kind of brought up and not answered. And meanwhile, the answers that they seem to be going for... either were done in kind of a way that wasn't really that exciting, or they were kind of did it in a way that it answered it a bit but then left it open for the sequel. Like, you know, we talk about the aliens hating the humans, and that's quite an interesting idea, you know, the creator turning against his creation, blah blah blah, but we don't even find that out. It's left for a sequel again. So it's just like the more interesting ideas they kind of realize are more interesting and so haven't answered them so they can save them for later.
And then their big reveals are completely...
They're not terrible, but they're just not just as interesting dull. As...
Like the big reveal that Wayland was on the ship the whole time.
Yeah.
One, I predicted that as soon as they had the message from him saying he was dead. And two, it didn't really change anything. Then he leaves the ship, dies.
And dies, yeah.
So,
I mean, I suppose it was to kind of unlock the alien. But even then, the alien plays a... He's only really there to kind of fly the ship a bit later so that the Prometheus can sacrifice itself. I mean, the whole thing is just, it's just very disjointed and very kind of, confused, basically. It doesn't seem to know what it wants to do. And although it's all done very slickly and very confidently, and in a way that kind of, it glosses over a lot of the problems just because how, you know, there is momentum and, you know, it doesn't, and there's always an interesting scene around the corner. But it all does is paper over the cracks, basically, in the overlying narrative. Well, yeah, you're right, a lot of it just doesn't, you know, it's not explained, or if it was, we missed it. I mean, obviously they've left it open for a sequel, because we have Shaw and David the android sailing off into the...
For kind a hilarious of... sitcom. Her and a head in a bag.
Just a setup of a series of hilarious
things. I think it was just his face, so she zips up the bag. He looks like he should be.
I'm not sure whether it was intentional, kind of, like. Because a lot of people were chuckling and not taking it very seriously. I felt like it was a kind of strange. I wasn't sure whether that Ridley Scott was going for that, or whether it was totally unintentional. It just was too goofy a thing to kind of. To be accepted. But, yeah, I'd be interested to see where they take it from there. You know, whether they do just go to the next planet. But I can't think how interesting that will really be. Especially since this whole race seems to be hostile towards humans. You know, or whether they introduce new characters and maybe only have Shaw turn up at the end or something. But, kind of, when it, you know, it leaves that thing open for sequels, but it's not really a clear route for the sequels. Like, no. I can't kind of really see exactly what path they're going to follow to explain everything. And just the overlying mysteries aren't that compelling. I think of Lost because the writer shares a writer. One of the showrunners of Lost was the writer. And the difference was kind of, I know a lot of people aren't fans of Lost, but I feel like for a lot of people it's just that the last series put them off the whole thing. But, you know, it's that same thing where you have these mysteries going on over a long period of time. But the difference with Lost is that you have really strong characters that are compelling enough that you don't mind waiting because their interactions are interesting enough. whereas Prometheus has not very interesting characters. So while you're waiting, you're just going, well, come on, get on with it. We want to see the next cool thing.
Mm.
You know, seeing the talks about faith and stuff. There were interesting ideas, but they were never really explored in that much depth. It all seemed quite, I don't know, it struck me as really kind of GCSE, A-level theology, kind of. There was the germ of a good idea, and they kind of touched on it, and then they left it. You know, you were saying when we left the film about how there's this big thing with Elizabeth Shaw and her faith.
Yeah.
And her kind of cross. But there's never a really compelling scene where her faith is actively tested. It's more like just the overall trauma of what she endures, which is admittedly a lot, should somehow be a direct counter to her faith. Where I was thinking, usually this is what strengthens faith. You know, this is what, you know, trauma is often what, when people fall back on faith to kind of really get them through it.
Yeah.
So I wasn't quite sure why David was expecting her to have abandoned God. And I know it was supposed to be this big thing about the parallel with that and us with our creator. Yeah. But it never really kind of, it didn't gel for me.
I think they could have got some really clever and interesting dialogue sort of just around the idea of, one, a robot and the whole concept of faith anyway.
Mm.
And sort of, I'm assuming, having no comprehension of what it really is and the point of, etc. And then her sort of having that, but also the crisis of, you know, after she's lost her boyfriend and is sort of being hunted by her own creator, where that stands with faith. And I mean, the boyfriend kind of hints at it, like, oh, you don't need the cross anymore, we found our creators, we found God, kind of thing. But it's just, that was about as far as it went, and then there was this whole big thing of he takes the cross off her and she's like fighting to keep it and then gets it back right at the end. It was just, well, that's nice.
Great, yeah. It's true, it just felt like a whole pot of ideas that were never really kind of coherently put together. I think it was just, in a way, it was a kind of ambitious failure.
Yeah.
And that's respectable. Like, most time it's much more interesting to watch a film try to do lots of things and not manage it and to be really conventional and hit all the plot beats and the action beats but just be so boring and mediocre. You know, but it did just seem like it had all these grand ideas and concepts that it wanted to play with but never really managed to hit, I don't think, any of them. Like, it was more just a kind of collection of really great scenes tied together with a really flimsy plot.
Yeah.
Really kind of, I don't know. And the atmosphere, there were parts where the atmosphere was really great. Like, you know, the whole exploration of the ship at the start, I thought was really interesting, you know, the kind of slow build up. But then it just kind of, well, I was talking earlier about momentum, but I was thinking also about the pace isn't, it kind of drops sometimes wildly and then explodes with lots of action going on out of nowhere and a really massive action scene and then just goes back to being really slow again.
Well, it's like, yeah, the pace. There was, for example, when Idris Elba just comes in and starts talking about the infection.
Mm.
And he's like, oh, it's a virus, it's a weapon, they've been obviously using this. It's like, well, how did you know?
Drawing these conclusions from very...
And it's like they've just suddenly gone from, they've seen one infected guy attack them. And like in most films, it's sort of, there's an infected guy, something's not right here, there's something, some virus on the planet.
Mm.
And it usually takes them a while to get the thing of, and it's the big reveal at the end. Like, oh no, it was engineered by the enemy.
Mm.
Whereas then they didn't even consider, must have been them.
Yeah.
They made it. And it just seems, and the pacing there, it was just, they went from being completely in the dark to knowing everything.
Yeah.
And it was just seemed really bizarre pace choices. And then at the start, when it was jumping around time zones.
Yeah,
and stuff,
I thought the first 10 minutes were very kind of, very incoherent. Well, no, disjointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you had the kind of bit with the alien. Then suddenly you were in Scotland in a cave, which is fine, you know, those two bits were fine. But then you're only in there for like 2 minutes. They find these kind of, you know, the painting. Immediately they're off again on a ship. They're having you see David going around his day-to-day business. And it's almost like he's the main character for like 2 minutes where he's kind of doing all these things. Then you see a kind of dream sequence from Elizabeth Shaw, but it's not clear it's a dream sequence initially. Yeah, you only find out like an hour
dreams
later.
That was his thing. That was
so
never
like,
really explored.
That kind of came out from nowhere just to kind of have a bit of a backstory. But then the backstory didn't actually seem that important. Well, not, certainly not important enough to warrant like a whole 3 or 4 minutes of screen time.
I think if they'd have followed the Faith subplot,
yeah, then it would have worked. Again, it seems like it almost seems like they just it was a first draft where they he kept having cool ideas and going off to the writers and kept going off to explore them. Then would remember they had to get back to the main plot and would kind of I'll come back to that another time and just forgot. And yeah, you're right. All these kind of potential really interesting plots. I think you could have made like two or three really interesting films just out of the ideas that they put in, but there was just too many and overloaded it. You know, it seems like a kind of it might have worked better as a TV series almost, where you'd have more time to build on the characters and the fate. I'm only thinking of that because, you know, with Lost, it had Jack, the main character, was also a man of science, and then the other main character was a man of faith. And I was thinking of the kind of same exploration there with Shaw being, you know, the woman of faith. And yeah, you know, being able to have the characters and the build up and the different plots more you know, explored better.
Yeah, done it. I think done in the style of something like the reimagined Battlestar.
Mm.
I mean, that had a lot of a similar question to faith and stuff.
Yeah,
I think that
could have been... it just seemed like they were trying to cram too much in, and maybe the director's cut will kind of really be a massive improvement.
Might have another, like, Kingdom of Heaven syndrome.
Yeah, I think the potential there, yeah, exactly like Kingdom of Heaven, yeah. So we'll have to see, I guess.
But, I mean, we've
criticised a lot. As a film, just entertainment-wise, I think it does well. You know, it's a very entertaining film. I like we keep saying, there are some fantastic scenes.
But there, it's hard to really pick out and say, yeah, that was really good. Because it's just, it's all... You know, it's like we mentioned before we said this, but it's all slickly made.
Mm.
And, you know, most of the dialogue's quite good.
The cast is, you know, uniformly fine.
And it's all good to watch. It's just, it's...
it's unsatisfying. Yeah. I felt like at the end I came out and was just like, I wanted more from it. I wanted the answers. I wanted...
But I think also the more I think about it, like, I came out and was like, yeah, that was really good.
Mm.
It was quite good. It was all right.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I think... I would be really interested to see what other people think of this, because some of the early reviews were saying it was amazing. It was, you know, really good. And I do wonder whether it is one of those things where just seeing Ridley Scott back in space with some cool set pieces, some really great imagery and stuff, is so exciting that it's almost like an Avatar thing where everyone came out of Avatar, including me, and said that was brilliant. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, hang on, no, I can't remember any of the characters' names. You know, none of the dialogue was remotely
blue
memorable.
Person A,
yeah.
Blue person B.
And then suddenly you start to realise, and then when I watched it the second time, I was like, hang on, this isn't nowhere near as good as I remember it being. And now I, you know, like most people have got to point where Avatar, you know, it wasn't a bad film, but it certainly wasn't a great film.
No.
And so I wonder whether Prometheus is not as, I'd say it's better than Avatar. But I don't think it's the masterpiece that some people seem to be claiming it is. I mean, I can't see how anyone could think it was a masterpiece.
I am glad, though, saying Avatar just reminded me of Sigourney Weaver. Mm. I'm glad they didn't force her.
No Ripley, thankfully. So
I was genuinely expecting there to be one of the crew members who was going to be played by Sigourney Weaver, and she turned out to be Ripley's grandma. Or something.
Oh right, I was thinking they kind of throw in a cheeky reference to it as a bit of fan service. I mean, they did have a little thing at the end, didn't they, with the chest burster coming out of the new alien, well, the different alien. Obviously, that's a bit strange as well because it's different to how it happens in the Alien film, because with the Alien one, obviously it comes out as a weird kind of embryo thing. Yeah, like a little fetus.
Is that when it came off?
And then this one was almost like
He was a lot bigger, so that could have been the fetus. Because, I mean, if you have the Alien relative to the size of the facehugger.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that was an enormous facehugger.
Yeah, but if you take a facehugger and scale it to that, imagine how big the Alien would be scaled the same amount.
It's true. I suppose because it was attacking a massive person as well. The person was like
completely smothered. It didn't have to be much bigger.
No, it seemed like a waste of a lot of flesh, considering it was just going to die straight afterwards. But I thought basically it was very flawed but very entertaining.
Yeah,
and I feel like it will be one of those films where in a couple of months time, when the kind of excitement's died down a bit, people go, actually it wasn't quite as good as we thought it was at the start.
Yeah,
but by no means was it a bad film.
No.
But I would say it was overall on balance, considering, I mean, I hadn't, when it was first announced, I was annoyed that they'd kind of gone with this. But then when I saw the trailer, I was kind of won over and I was like, okay, maybe they can make an interesting film. Now, kind of looking at overall, I'd say it was a letdown.
Yeah.
Like, from what I was hoping it could be. But I suppose, you know, we'll see how other people feel about it in the coming weeks and see what people say. So that's the end of the Prometheus breakdown, as it were. Undoubtedly, we'll come up with some other ideas and stuff later on. We might figure out some of it. So maybe we'll return to it later.
Hopefully
on.
In a few months when DVDs comes out, hopefully there'll be a director's cut and see if we can be proved right.
Yeah.
We'll work a lot. Maybe not necessarily just a different or extended cut, just to have to actually feature Vickers doing something.
So would we both say that it wasn't as good as Alien or Aliens? Better than Alien Resurrection, we can say that.
Yeah.
Alien 3, I'd say it beats it, but not the first two.
I think it's really hard to compare. In my head, I'm just finding it really difficult to compare it with the first Alien. Aliens, I can compare it to a lot more easily.
They didn't have any of the humour of Aliens.
No.
It didn't have any of the kind of the camaraderie that we were saying.
But yeah, I can compare it to that a lot more. But then comparing to the first Alien, it feels much different.
They're very different, very different styles of film there, yeah. But yeah, so that's the Prometheus review. Anything else to throw in there?
Just one question. Was it supposed to be the same planet from Alien? Because I was never sure. Because they put up the name of the planet. I couldn't remember if it was the same.
You can probably find out on the internet later. But I didn't think it was. Only because I thought that the canisters and the eggs in the alien ship in the alien film. I'm just wondering whether it's kind of the next stage of the ships or something, so maybe taking place somewhere else later on.
Unless that just becomes their testing ground.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to check. All right. Okay. So we'll tie that up there then. So I'll see you in the upcoming weeks, but in a variety of different styles and different exciting types of podcasts.
There might be a musical episode.
There might well be
just
a musical.
Just for Rock the Ages.
Musical episodes to look forward to. So. Yeah, we'll see you
around.
Don't
actually hope for a musical episode. That seems unlikely.
We're not going to do one.
Well, never say never. It seems unlikely.
Never.